This is Jennifer Pepito with the Restoration Home Podcast. This is the show where we talk about the peaceful path to connected families and restored communities. Today, I'm talking to Emily Pepito. I'm so excited to chat with her about the concept of order. In my new book, Habits for a Sacred Home, I talk about 9 practices from history that can anchor and restore modern families. And one of those practices is order, and that can look like teaching your children to listen to you and follow your directions. That can look like listening to the directions found in scripture and, you know, being under the authority of scripture, but it can also apply to our marriages and learning how to function in a marriage in a biblical way. I can't wait to chat with you about it, Emily.
I am so excited for this conversation. Marriages are one of my, I'm not married, but it's one of my favorite topics.
Tell me about that, Emily.
I think that the idea of marriage being Christ and his bride is so incredible. I think the fact that there's almost no like great marriages in the Bible per se, or very few, is fascinating to me. So we don't necessarily have this like beautiful blueprint. And yet at the same time, we have this mandate to have a marriage that shows Christ and his bride. And then at the same time, as we have these factors, we also have the amazing differences between men and women that then sort of exacerbate even further this calling to live in unity with one another and to, again, showcase Christ and his bride. And then on top of that, everybody wants to be married. Like not necessarily be married, but everybody wants a life partner pretty much. Like it's amazing. Like among my friend group, no matter what their sort of values or their backgrounds or their beliefs, they're all looking for somebody to be a life partner.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think that it's a really interesting thing because in this year, I've been in kind of a learning situation with a lot of people from different walks of life. I mean, all of them were believers, but they certainly didn't all share the same values. And, you know, one of the things that we early on, was a value for us as a family was biblical submission or kind of godly authority structures in the family. So for me, that looked like, you know, wives submit to your husbands, children obey your parents, and parents bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and husbands love your wives. So there's a circle there. It's not like a hierarchy. It's more of a circle that we all have a responsibility to each other. But, you know, so early on I read like Created to Be His Helpmeet by Debbie Pearl and Fascinating Womanhood. That one's so old. I don't even know what it says anymore, except that it was definitely about more submissive womanhood. So I read those books early on and listened to different teachings by some of those kind of similar people, like the Vision Forum people and that kind of thing. But one of the things that tripped me up a little bit is that, you know, in some of that teaching, it almost gives you the impression that you as a woman can't make any decisions without your husband's okay, or you can't make any plans. And my husband's actually a pretty laid back person and not necessarily making a lot of like saying, let's do this. Let's, you know, so we went to Mexico. That was a big deal. And that was his vision. And we, you know, I felt like God called me to do it. I didn't just go because he wanted to, but I also loved him and wanted to be a supportive wife. So we did that. But he's not always saying, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that. And so there was a part of me at one point where I was like, I don't know, I'd like to be having more sort of ideas and authority. And I was really excited when I got back from Mexico and I went to this Presbyterian women's luncheon and they had a teacher there. I don't even remember her name, but she talked about goal setting as a woman and some of the areas of our life that we could goal set in. And that was almost revolutionary for me because it felt early on, like as a wife, you weren't really supposed to have any goals of your own or ideas of your own. You just kind of had to go with the flow of what your husband wanted. And because I had kind of a go with the flow husband, I was frustrated sometimes waiting, you know, for plans to be made.
I do know what you're saying. And I think that the classical idea or almost a perversion of submission or of honor was that go with the flow, but I don't think that that's correct at all. And I think that what it actually is an honor of the person. Because if you look at the one real example we have of what a godly wife is, it's the Proverbs 31 woman. And if anything, she's an absolute go-getter, right? And she has all these plans and she has her business and she, you know, obviously runs a farm in the background and all these things. And I think the problem was there was this idea of honor and submission where you stopped moving, like you became a backwater in a sense. And it was, I'm trying to think how I can explain this, but I think it was fundamentally dishonoring because honor is an action verb and that state of passivity is passive. And so I think that that was part of the problem with it is you were not you specifically, but just a lot of women who were adhering to that idea were almost, I mean, dishonor is strong, but you can't honor somebody when you just sit around waiting for them to lead. And honor is getting to know somebody, I think, and learning to honor what you know about them. And so, but it's like if you have skills to pay the bills and you utilize those, that's not dishonoring your husband. That's actually honoring him by using your skills to benefit the relationship. And I, you know, I don't know entirely if I agree with that, but it's just something I would think about when I think about how honor actually plays out or how it should play out.
Yeah. And one of the books that I read later on was Captivating by Stacey Eldridge. And something that was very revolutionary about that book is that she talked about the definition of helpmeet in the Bible being the same word that they use for the Holy Spirit, which you don't look at the Holy Spirit as being someone passive. The Holy Spirit is like actively working for our good. And that was encouraging in a lot of ways because it opened up sort of hope for more creativity and more authority in a sense. And then even looking at who we are as believers, like we are all created in the image of God, male and female created he them. And so if we're made in the image of God, God is very creative and he's, you know, he's making the world. He made the world with his breath. He holds it together. So I think that as women, there should be actually a lot of authority that we're carrying and that we're living in. But one of the things that then if you know, I've seen some women who really embrace that aspect of it, that they're powerful, that they have authority, that they are made in the image of God. And then they start to almost like run past their husbands or in other ways nurture their husbands as leaders. And I think that actually does take a little bit of sort of TLC. Like we can't just treat our husbands like we would treat a girlfriend in a sense. Definitely not that how we would treat a child.
Yeah, I agree with that. We cannot treat them as we would a child. And I think it's hard to describe because it's one of those things that's a mental attitude. Like honor is it's not your actions per se, but it's how you view them. And so do you view your partner, like even while you are seeming to submit to them, are you still viewing them with distrust? Are you viewing them with disgust? Are you judging them and their choices in your head? Are you condemning them for mistakes they've made in the past? Are you really letting go of control and coercion and manipulation in how you are treating and cooperating and coordinating with them in your marriage and in your family? Or are you sort of in the background not having a voice, but also moving the puppet strings in a sense, and in the background, you know, speaking ill of them to your friends or in your own thoughts, you know, thinking about them with disrespect and being like, you know, well, I'm going to submit to him, but he better start picking up his laundry or whatever it is. Or, well, last time I let him do this, he didn't take the trash out. So I'm going to take the trash out. And clothing some of these actions that are really contempt in submission simply because we're not actually addressing them head on, or because we're maybe not voicing them to our husbands directly. But I think that really subtle difference in our heart and our mind attitude towards our husbands is so incredibly important. And we live in a world where in movies, in advertisements, in any sort of media, men are fundamentally disrespected. And it's such a trope. Like, I went and hung out with a few women recently. Two were married, two were unmarried, one was engaged to be married. And you could just, they were mentioning their husbands, and they come from a more, you know, Christian conservative background. And they, the way that they speak of them is that it's almost like that I'm a cool girl kind of way, where they refer to them as if they were one of their children, or, oh my gosh, it's probably Danny and da 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 da. And it's sort of so, it's just so disrespectful. And I think that my other view on this is, and this is a little bit different from the submission thing, but we also live in a world now where as women, we actually don't need men in the way that we used to. And so I think it becomes even easier. And I see this a lot too with like homeschool moms, where they get really, they're really good at homeschooling. They're really good at nurturing. They're really good at keeping the house clean. They're really good at multitasking. They're really good at sort of everything that is required in the house. And for a lot of them, the extra work, like changing the oil in the car, taking care of the house, maintaining the house, is either hired out or seems so minimal compared to the job that they're doing, that they chronically undervalue and underrespect what their husband brings to the table. And 100 years ago, you could not have survived without a man in the house. You couldn't. You needed a man, or you needed a male protector figure to be present for you to just survive. And we, not only do we not need that anymore, thanks to, you know, great police force and all sorts of things, but we also live in a world that I don't think is conducive to male functionality. It's high pace. It's multi, not that men aren't smart and can move quickly, but it just, I feel like women can be better adapted to some of the demands and needs of everyday life. And so I feel like we continue to sideline men and increase sort of our disregard for them and our disrespect.
I love that so much, Emily. It's so insightful, because I do feel like part of the way forward for us, if we want to have happy marriages, which, you know, being in this situation this year where I was around a lot of women who would love to be married, like women who would love to have a special someone, who would love to be married, it made me realize I have a special someone. I have a man who's very capable, who's very strong, who's very intelligent, and what a gift that is. But in my life, it's been really hard. It's been easy for me to be, you know, have an ugly slant on things, to like focus on what's not okay instead of what's amazing. And so there's a couple things that come to mind as we're talking. One is just starting to notice, like for you listening, if you realize that you have some negative thought patterns in regards to your husband, that you have given way, or you've let yourself mentally criticize him in your head, just start noticing the good things instead. Like, notice the good things, write them down. It's just as easy to notice the good things as it is to notice the bad. I mean, maybe it does take more effort, but it's going to bring you more joy. So start noticing. I mean, just the fact that you have a living, breathing husband is a gift. There's so many people who wish they had that. And then one of the books that's been really helpful actually in the last few years is The Empowered Wife by Laura Doyle. And she, I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but she certainly doesn't talk in her book about being a submissive wife or about anything in regards to some like burden from scripture that we must obey. And I'm not saying that scripture is a burden, but I think sometimes we can look at it that way instead of looking at the ways that having some wisdom in regards to our marriage actually benefits us. Like, I do talk about in the chapter on order and habits for a sacred home. And if you have it in your hands, it would mean so much to me if you just hop onto Amazon and leave a review. But in that chapter on order, I talk about how I, you know, started taking on more things. I kind of thought, oh, you know, if my husband doesn't want to do this, I'll just do it myself. If he doesn't want to do this, or if I don't like the way he does it, I'll just do it myself. But then the problem is, the more we take on, especially things that we don't have to, the more we have to do. And that's destructive for us. And I think so many moms they criticize everything their husbands do, and then they wonder why their husband doesn't help them. Like, I've had friends who were, you know, would complain about the way their husbands parent or the way they interact with their kids or the way they do anything. And then later on, they complain to me about how little help they got. But if you are never thankful or happy or just pleased with your husband, they're going to stop trying. And I think, you know, that's one of Laura Doyle's 6 intimacy skills, is just learning to notice and be thankful for the things that our husbands are doing, that we say, you know, that we really say something special, that we say something, you know, about how what they're doing is a blessing to them. You know, and another thing that Laura Doyle talks about is just sort of staying on your page. Like, I think it's easy for us as wives to, you know, be disappointed with the way our husband does something and then take it on ourselves or criticize them so they don't do it anymore. But if instead we just started being thankful for the way they do things and letting them do it, even if it takes them longer or we don't like the way they do it, you know, having some faith in God that he'll come through for you.
Totally. And I love what you just said about staying in your lane, because I think that goes back to the whole thing of how do you keep that tension between being a submissive wife, because I believe in submission as a woman wholeheartedly. And I believe that there is something in us that is at rest when we are submitted to a man who is trustworthy. But I also know that submission doesn't mean that I can't be really proactive both in my personal life and in my marriage. And I think what it does, the simplest way to probably explain it, is that idea of staying in your lane and taking authority where it is yours to take authority, but where it's not, like whether you as a couple have chosen to delegate certain areas to one or the other, or whether it's just more of a, you know, of a male job, like being a father, right? That's the husband's role, is to be a father. And so how he fathers can be something that you discuss and you can give each other feedback. Like you should, you know, you can give each other constructive feedback when you are co-parenting and if you have an issue, but that doesn't mean that you have the right to step out of your lane as a mother and try and coerce how they, you know, drive the car of fatherhood. And I think the other thing that women, that we just are not well taught how to do, is communication. And I talked recently with a woman I work with, and I asked her some questions about her marriage because I just have so much respect for their communication and so much about their life. And she was telling me that she at one point had felt really overwhelmed with the household and with the children and wasn't necessarily getting the support that she wanted. And she said, "My husband is an engineer brain, and so I turned the problem into an engineering problem and presented it to him." And I think the need for women to become fluent in the language of men is so important. And we have, through movies, through the idea of counseling, through so many sort of, I would say, female-centric modes of self-healing that have become really popular in today's world, have negated the difference between men and women to our detriment. And so understanding that your husband, no matter how close and warm and fuzzy and connected you are, fundamentally is wired differently, was created differently, runs on a different set of hormones, is just not you. And then learning how he sees the world, learning what he needs, learning how to communicate with him in a way that honors how God created him, and then also equips him to help you better, is so important. And so if you go to your husband and you're like, meh, 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 and to you, you're just doing what you do with any girlfriend, that's not honoring him as a man or as your husband, because he's not your girlfriend and his brain is not wired. And so it actually behooves you to honor that difference and learn to communicate and ask for help and present problems and address things in a way that is, that seamlessly integrates with how he naturally thinks about the world. And so if you have a problem that needs solving, learn to couch it in terms that he'll understand. If you do need to complain and get support, which we should be getting from our husbands, learn how to communicate that need in a way that equips him to help you. And there's no there's nothing wrong with having to partner with our husbands to get them to help us, because that is partly from everything that I've researched about men. They are eager to help, but they're just not wired to be as intuitively aware of how to help us. And so it actually is both loving of us to help them help us, and it doesn't diminish how much they love us when they need a little more instruction on how that looks. And so, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, but using words like could actually can cause offense in a man's brain, because could is challenging his ability to do it. Would is being vulnerable and asking for a favor. So simple changes like that, where you say, would you help me with this, or addressing it later. And, you know, when you have a problem with how he maybe parented, or, you know, how he disciplined a child, or how he did something, being expressing why it matters to you, because I think men are a lot more, they need more emphasis on why something is important in the grander scheme of things. And so a lot of times as women, we're just like, well, it's better. It's just better. Okay. And it is better, but we just can't expect them to assimilate that as well, because they're not us. And so being able to, again, communicate with a man in a way that honors his brain.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I'm going to just run through Laura Doyle's 6 intimacy skills really quick, because these were pretty revolutionary actually for me. In my family, we have some struggles with some of these, the way that it was modeled. And so it's been great for me to, you know, I'm in a club with my mother and my sisters working on these skills, because they don't necessarily come natural for us. Number one is self-care. And, you know, in my family, like my daughters, myself, my sisters, my mother, we're all such hard workers. We rarely get our nails done or get a massage or do self-care. And then, like in my case, sometimes I'm whiny and grumpy with my husband because I don't feel cared for, but that may be my responsibility. So number one skill is self-care, and it's central to marital harmony. And there's a direct correlation, according to this article. It's a synopsis on the website aish.com, and we can link this article. So skill number one, self-care. Skill number two, gratitude. Like, start noticing the things that they do right. Doyle recommends expressing gratitude at least 3 times daily. And the more gratitude you give, the more your spouse will want to do for you. And I think that is so true, that, you know, if our husband's doing things, even simple things, like my husband was out all morning in the rain chopping a tree down because it was covering up our chicken shed and going to cause us to get our insurance canceled. Like, sure, it's his thing he has to do, but I can still say, my gosh, thank you so much for protecting our family in that way and making sure we still have insurance that we need. Skill number three is receive. Like, when your spouse takes the time to give you a gift, don't say, I don't like it, or it's not my color or something. Just say thank you. Wear it a few times and then put it in your closet if you want to. But for sure, if you don't say thank you and express joy about the things they do for you, they're not going to do more for you. Skill number four is respect. Like oxygen, all people need respect. And it's especially, I think, true for men. And that's why the Bible says, wives, honor your husbands. So, you know, she says one of the most useful phrases in a marriage is, whatever you think. And maybe, you know, maybe if you haven't been expressing love and respect to your husband, it's going to be hard for them to even believe you when you say something like that. But I think just start working on appreciating their ideas. You know, for me, I've had to, this is a hard thing for me, especially in regards to the house. Like, I'm so opinionated about the way we decorate our houses and the way we, you know, the aesthetic. I feel like I have a great aesthetic. And so I've had to work on being able to say, oh, that's a good idea, instead of just immediately saying, no, I don't like that idea. Like, so some of this I know is going to take work for you ladies. It takes work for me, but it's worth it because we have a gift in our husbands. Number five is relinquish control. You know, and that is so important, because if we're constantly nitpicking the way they do things and trying to get them to do things our way, it's going to make them not very assertive about helping. And then number six, strive to be vulnerable. She says vulnerability creates an accepting atmosphere that enables our fears of rejection to dissipate and allows our spouses to flourish. And I think that is good too, because sometimes I think we have to be careful in the way we express things. Like, for myself. When I express to my husband that I am feeling discouraged, sometimes it feels like something he needs to fix. And this can be especially sensitive in the times before I get my period. Like that, you know, we talked about that on the hormones episode, and we'll link that as well. You know, sometimes when it's close to that time of the month, you might be more emotional about things than you would normally. And that might be a good time to talk to a friend or do some self-care. But I think the more energy and in some ways drama we bring to conversations with our husband, the more sometimes defensive they'll be. And so it might be good to say, I'm feeling big emotions right now. I just need to go take a bath, or, you know, talk to a friend about it first, or say, I'm feeling some big emotions and I would really just love a hug. I actually don't think I need advice right now. I just love some comfort. You know, maybe being clear about what we need before we say it. I just, you know, I think it's sometimes when we're feeling big things, it's, you know, maybe the best time to talk to a friend about it or talk to the Lord about it, because our husbands can't always relate with some of the things that we're dealing with. And they're there to be our covering, our protectors. There's so many things that they do bring to it, but different people have different gifts. And I think understanding what the gifts your husbands bring and loving and respecting and honoring those gifts, and then recognizing that they won't be able to meet every need. I think that is a healthy way to look at life. So thanks for joining Emily and I today, talking about order in our marriages. There's more on this subject coming up. And we just had a wonderful conversation with Michael and Smith about creating some order in our home, as far as the decluttering and the aesthetic of our home and even the atmosphere of our home, so that we can show hospitality. And if you are loving the podcast, you can leave a review. And it'd be amazing if you grab my new book, Habits for a Sacred Home. There are so many ideas in there for creating a rule of life and really anchoring and restoring your family as you read through and apply the values to your family life.